For example, if there is no nama rupa paricchetayana yet, the understanding of reality with sati is not that level of the person who has attained nama rupa paricchetayana.
So it cannot be applied.
Mm-hmm. By the same token, though, if there have been moments of satipatthana being mm-hmm. developed, then that has been accumulated, and so it has an effect, even though, of course, not all subsequent moments are satipatthana, but once there's been some development of satipatthana, it must have an effect on the subsequent understanding.
What level?
Whatever level, I suppose.
Before, after nama rupa
paricchetayana.
Before nama rupa paricchetayana, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the accumulation of panya with satipatthana will condition nama rupa paricchetayana.
Right.
And after that, once one has experienced nama rupa paricchetayana, whenever sati arises, panya, which has understood reality at that level, continue on to understand better from before attaining nama rupa paricchetayana.
Yes.
And what is the purpose in talking about parinyas as opposed to vipassana jnanas?
To see that yata parinya is not yet tirana parinya.
I have a question about asavas. Bhavasava, desire for rebirth, is one of the asavas. And the Atasalani explains that it arises by way of aspiring to rebirth in rupa and arupa forms of life. And of course, as we know, even the Anagami, who's eradicated all kinds of sensuous clinging, still has clinging to rebirth, which is a result of jhana, for example. And before, when I asked you about this, and I said, oh, well, it may seem to us that there's no clinging to rebirth. And I think you replied, well, what about clinging to another moment of seeing or hearing or clinging to rebirth at this moment? Would you say a little more about that?
What is bhava?
Bhava, becoming. So just attachment to becoming at
any
next moment, not
so
this.
The Anagami might have a subtle attachment to another moment of a rupajana.
Anagami has eradicated all clinging to sensuous objects, so there's no more attachment to another moment of seeing or hearing, to sense objects, but just to rebirth as bhava as a result of jhana. If it is an anagami that hasn't developed jhana, then no more bhavasava?
That's why we have to understand what bhava is.
Yes. So for the anagami who hasn't developed jhana and there's no more attachment to sense object, there's still attachment to another moment of existing, even though no attachment to another moment of seeing or hearing. Because for us, as you gave the example, we may think, oh, no particular attachment to rebirth, but there's attachment to another moment of seeing or hearing. So what kind of becoming would the anagama be
attached to? Is the attachment to sense object, not attachment to bhava as well?
Yes, but if there's no attachment to sense objects,
there still is the attachment to bhava.
The next
just
moment
to
of jhana.
But if he hasn't developed any jhana, we're saying. So
not to finish the life yet because of the calmness of kusala moments.
Just to another moment of kusala.
It's always a mystery. How can there be anagami who don't attain jhana because they are perfect in concentration? They have no hindrances. If they wanted to, they could.
No. It doesn't mean that anyone who does not develop jhana can have jhana at will. Impossible.
But they have no hindrances, do they?
Yes, but not to degree of jhana, not to degree of absorption, concentration.
Jhana is also a different kind of development. Mm. It's not just like automatic switch.
But wait a minute, but an anagami is said to be perfect in concentration, aren't they?
To that degree.
To that degree, but not necessarily jhana.
As with our jhana or with jhana of what level too? Because not all anagami has five jhanas or two or one. Even upacara samadhi is also considered as
right concentration, perfect in concentration.
Because there is no attachment to the sense object.
Do you think if an anagami wanted to attain jhana, he hadn't attained before, but he's now anagami, could he attain if he wanted to?
I think that the nature of anagami, since they do not have attachment to sense object, their life would be conditioned to be calm. depending on the individual's life, like the potter, Katikara.
See? Did he have jhana? No.
He worked
for
his mother, blind parents.
So no time for jhana.
We cannot say anything at all, because even the whirling people can attain jhana.
Yeah.
Each moment is so various by conditions. We cannot say that it is the same same component or same quality.
There's an example that came up on the list recently of a woman, a lay woman, who became an anagami.
The time of the Buddha.
Yes. Okay, so Bhavasava and craving for existence and for annihilation. So now craving for annihilation. Can you give an example of just not wanting
to
become?
Don't want to see, don't want to hear.
What do you mean?
Well, we read about these different kinds of craving, and we know that, for example, Bhavasava can be either with or without wrong view.
You are talking about the three kinds of tanha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Kama tanha, bhava tanha, and vipava tanha.
Vipava tanha. Okay, so vipava tanha now, which has to be with wrong view.
Right. Especially wrong view.
Especially wrong view. So could you give an example now
of
vipava tanha?
Those who believe that after death, there's no living.
That's
wrong
view.
That any application at this moment or with regard to
any time,
it
arises.
Okay.
Uccheda ditti. It has to be that one.
And vipava tanha and uccheda
ditti. Sasata ditti. Vipava tanha
is
the lopa with vipava ditti only.
Okay.
Because there is kama tanha for sense object and bhava tanha for life being or with wrong view that everything is permanent. And the third one,
vipava tanha and uccheda ditti.
Exactly the same. Different word.
And any clinging at all is conditioned for life in samsara to continue. But slight clinging is not included in the sankhara of paticca samuppada, only clinging of the degree of karma. So we read that any slight clinging at all is conditioned for life in samsara to continue. So even the anagami is very subtle.
Okay. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Then?
So even the anagami is subtle clinging is conditioned for samsara.
As long as there's a rebirth.
But why is slight clinging not... Okay, I know the answer. Slight clinging is not included in sankhara because it hasn't brought result in
what
this life.
Sankhara?
Past karma from last life, so it hasn't brought result, yes.
Mm. And sankhara is not karma, lopa.
No.
It's jetana.
So that's why it can only refer to strong chetana accompanying strong attachment, which can bring results in this life.
Jetana of the anagami can condition next life, even a slight attachment.
But even if it's slight attachment
to bhava.
But if it's slight attachment, it cannot be kamapata, so it wouldn't be kamapata. How can it condition rebirth when it's not kamapata?
What is not bhava? Because you said that the jetana condition samsara, right?
Yes.
So anagami also has jetana, which is kusala.
Yes.
So it conditioned kusala vipaka.
But before, when we talk about the kinds of kamapata that can bring result, well, okay, so this kusala, because it's the anagami, even it seems so it's strong enough to bring results.
Jetana, this condition.
Bringing results. So it's not the clinging, it's the kusala that's bringing that result, the rebirth and that special.
And upadana conditioned kama, so kama conditioned chati.
But upadana conditions karma, but if it's just a very slight clinging, then
that's
it's not upadana.
It's not be born in human and sense
human realm. But we also say usually that an anagami doesn't have upadana because
the karma upadana only.
Doesn't have karma upadana, but
still have bhava.
Bhava upadana. Is it of
No. There are only four, and that is included in karma upadana.
Yes. But usually the word upadana refers to strong clinging, not just ordinary attachment, but upadana is usually stronger than ordinary attachment.
It's one aspect from some part. What about the first moment of lopa is tanha, the second is upadana, even there are seven.
So we cannot say that the anagama is tanha is not upadana. Okay, because even the second moment in the jhāvana could be called upadana.
Yeah. Very, very refined. We cannot just say that it's not, or it is.
So it's too simplistic just to say that upadana is a strong kind of tanha. We can't just say that.
Oh, we can, but it is.
When it is. Yeah. But not for the anagama.
Just getting back to the point that Azita raised about the description of panya from the Visuddhimagga, do you think those classifications of panya is helpful in developing understanding of the present, or do you think we just stick with...
To see that a lots of level of panya, like Sariputta's panya, we cannot count how many are there.
Mm-hmm. But panya, as we understand it, has a Dhamma as its object, the development of insight
understanding
into presently arising Dhammas. And so, because we don't see Dhammas as they truly are, does it help to, as it were, analyze Dhammas in different ways? Like
help one to see how much avichara one has?
Well, if it did, then of course it is because of the amount of avichara.
Because even the ordinary panya, which can understand reality theoretically, is very difficult too. So what about when it develops to the degree that it can understand reality right now? And what about when it's vipassanayana? And what about when it's the sotapanna? And what is that for sotapanna to become sakatagami? And what about the Sariputta's panya?
Yeah.
And more than that, what's about the Buddha's panya?
I wondered about this. Is this Buddha's panya?
Do we also have the Buddha's panya very, very little? To understand reality right now. His panya understands this,
Just but different. That panya that knows everything, because not every Arya knows everything, only the Buddha knows everything.
But what Buddha knows, Arya seems to know too. A little
of what he knows,
If we are reading something like that, some of it may be a condition for a little bit better conceptual understanding of Dhammas for us.
To see that whether one has what kind of panya or not yet.
Mm-hmm.
To know the truth.
To know how much panya we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Unrelated question. I was listening to a tape where Venerable Dharmadaro years ago asked you about the seven famous monks from Kasapa Buddha's time. They were disgusted because the sasana was declining. They were all monks during Kasapa Buddha, and they went to a mountain, threw down the ladders and said, we either become arahant or we basically die here. And if someone did that now, we might say, look, you're taking it a little bit too seriously or something. Why don't you come down and study Dharma? But four of them or three of them became arahants during the 7 days. And the other four or three, they, in the time of Buddha Gautama, they all became like Bahaya, they became great disciples of the Buddha. Yet if we look at that example, if we heard someone doing that now, we'd say, well, those guys are really not going to get anywhere.
Because they don't know anything.
Right. How do you explain those?
I think that no one can stop anyone's accumulation at all.
Yeah.
Even the monk who walk and then walk back. Because of...
In the Satipatthana Sutta commentary, there's a monk who keeps stopping, and every time he doesn't have mindfulness, he stops. And we would say that's a little bit pushing it or trying to have desire.
Different accumulation. No need to copy.
Yeah.
I see it very clearly.
Isn't he setting a rule, though, that monk?
He understands
properly. For himself only?
Yeah. He's doing it with understanding. Yeah. Most people don't.
That's why you can never tell from the situation or the
appearance. Have you read about the monk who ate dung?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I
thought that he became arahata.
No.
But the accumulation like that, see?
Yeah.
I
thought it was the
Yeah. It's his food.
No, I haven't read that.
Yes, what is his name? Chien, huh? Pratit Kinjara. Before his enlightenment.
Thank you for clarifying that. Can we talk about akusala vipaka or any vipaka conditioning other vipaka? For example, we might have some akusala vipaka through body sense or eye door and being a condition for maybe taking medicine which leads to well-being or something, but if one hadn't had the akusala vipaka. So can you talk about vipaka, conditioning vipaka?
The pasa vipaka, which arises with chakku vinyana, is the pakatupanisya for santirana, but not for sampatichana. But it is the anantarupanisya for sampatichana, but pakatupanisya for santirana. No need to think too much about it.
I like those different details, just the complexities of it.
It's just because I read something about akusala vipaka through the body sense conditioning other vipakas leading to bodily well-being or something, but it's a long story.
But that's different to the answer.
Closer than that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, closer to the particular cheetahs, more precise. Mm.
We talk about sanya arising with every jitta and marking objects. How do we get sanya vipalasa?
At moment of seeing something with the idea of something with tiddhi or with nitya or atta, therefore.
So at the moment of seeing, there's none of those jitta seekers. At the moment of seeing, sanya marks just an object.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sanya also marks concepts.
Each moment.
But does sanya mark in the same jitta?
The same object as the loba. When it's akusala, it's vipalasa. I didn't quite know why you just referred to the wrong views, because even when it's not wrong view, it's still sanya jitta vipalasa. So any moment of loba, there's sanya vipalasa. So even in the sense door process, the moment of clinging before there's any idea of anything,
Kutakanikaya Tamapata Pupawaka Itindan.
Oh, the reference.
Palawaka, the fifth Palawaka. It's the Champuka Chivaka. Yeah.
For so long. For years he was a dung eater, wasn't he? Yeah. He was of a different sect or something, and then he converted to Buddhism, is that right? Before he became a monk.
He became Arahata.
But when he was a Buddhist monk, he wasn't eating dung. It was prior to becoming a Buddhist monk, wasn't it? He was some sort of ascetic.
Past lives and accumulations. Yeah. You read in the newspaper about people in this life who are addicted to eating human flesh or something like this. It's sort of like from a young age, they just crave it so badly.
Like this kid in Japan that went around cutting off kids of other young kids, 14-year-old Kobe killer, right? And they thought he was an adult, finally they found he was a kid. And everyone's, why, how could a kid do that? Mm. To me, it's obvious. Mm. It must have been some accumulation from the past life.
He became Arahata before entering the...
Before entering the bhikkhu head, yeah.
As you were talking about vipalasa, do we have vipalasa right now? Talking about vipalasa, and vipalasa arises with all akusala.
We have vipalasa, not necessarily, but we don't have wrong view.
Not eradicated completely or eradicated completely, it doesn't matter. But in order to know whether that is vipalasa or not, it reminds us to understand reality right now. For example, if there is no understanding, visible object as just a reality, that is vipalasa.
Or if there's no dana, sila or samatha dana.
Mm-hmm. But one must be very precise of the moment. Even while one is giving, there can be a kusala in between. So vipalasa can arise.
So vipalasa is with every akusala jitta.
With or without jitta.
Sometimes when we talk about knowing accumulations or knowing our accumulations at this moment, your answer is we don't know, or who can know exactly what the accumulation is at this moment. And other times, like when we were in India, when someone asked about knowing the accumulation, you said something like, oh, easy, what did you have for breakfast?